Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on April 11th. Coming up today, we'll hear from Kent Police about what yesterday's announcement from Sir Keir Starmer about putting thousands of officers back on the streets will mean for Kent. We'll also hear from the Gillingham manager as he's still on the hunt for his first win at the club. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a teenager who waved a knife around during a fight on the seafront in Margate has appeared in court. Lucy's been following this story for the podcast. She's with me now with some more details. Lucy, can you tell us when and where this happened?
Well, the fight broke out between a large group of people on August 12th last year in Marine Parade opposite Margate Main Sands Beach. It's unclear why the brawl happened, but CCTV shows the teenagers squaring up to each other. One of those identified was 18-year-old Rhys Day from Canvey Island in Essex. He was seen dressed in shorts and a balaclava while waving around a 3-inch blade and threatening others. The court heard it was a large knife and the blade was in excess of 3 inches.
And I understand he's been in court but hasn't been sentenced yet.
That's right. The defence team have asked for an adjournment to allow a pre-sentencing report to be carried out so they could find out a bit more about Rhys. The court heard he's been doing a lot of work on himself and is no longer associating with that group of people who are a lot older than him. The judge set the sentencing for May 8th but warned Rhys his actions will be taken seriously because he could have killed someone or been killed himself. He's been granted bail until then. It's also worth noting he's the only person so far to be charged over the fight.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A hearing's been told how a kickboxer who trained at a club in Tunbridge Wells died from an overdose in a hotel room in Thailand. Joshua Goldstone was found at the Vogue Hotel alongside a friend who was rushed to hospital and survived in October last year. The 21-year-old trained at Semtex Muay Thai not far from his East Sussex home. A full inquest will be heard at a later date. The ambulance trust that covers Kent say they've had a huge increase in 999 calls over the last year. SECAM dealt with around 913,000 calls in the year to the end of March, which is nearly 40,000 more than the previous 12 months. Their average response time to Category 2 cases, which includes things like strokes and heart attacks, was 28 minutes and 49 seconds. That's quicker than the national target of 30 minutes. A coroner's decided delays and failures in treating a teenage girl who took an MDMA overdose at a gig in Dreamland did not contribute to her death. Emily Stokes suffered a cardiac arrest in hospital after becoming ill at the Margate event in June last year. An inquest into the 17-year-old's death has been taking place. Reporter Millie Bowles was there for the podcast.
Coroner Catherine Wood did recognise failings and delays in the care of Emily and leading up to her death, but she said these were not causative or contributing to her death and therefore could not rule them as her cause of death. These failings included a lack of training from the medical staff, both the staff that were contracted to be at Dreamland and the staff in the private ambulance. They didn't have the facilities to cool down her temperature, which was 40.9, which is incredibly high. They also noticed a slight delay in getting Emily through triage due to a bit of a miscommunication between the ambulance staff and the triage nurse. However, this was deemed minimal. There was also a delay in the ambulance getting back from QEQM to pick up Emily from Dreamland. It took roughly 45 minutes for the ambulance to get there, and this was due to a delay in handing over the patient before Emily. That was another drugs-related illness from a young man. Coroner Wood noted that Emily should have been pre-alerted to hospital, meaning someone should have called ahead to QEQM and told them that they had a critically ill patient on the way. She said that she felt medical staff didn't fully appreciate, because they didn't have the training, quite how critically ill Emily was. We also heard over the last few days about some changes that have already been made. One of those is Dreamland has hired a new contractor for the medical services at their events. This contractor has the facilities of ice and is able to give IV fluids as well, which IMS, which is the previous company, weren't able to do. IMS themselves also subcontract a different ambulance service. So they did have Kent Central Ambulance Service and they now have a different provider for that. So there have been some changes that have been made.
Kent Online News.
The mastermind behind a plan to smuggle a lorry load of cocaine through the border at Folkestone has been sent to prison. A shipment worth £23 million was uncovered in May 2020. It was stashed in a consignment allegedly heading for St Mary's Hospital in London. A 40-year-old Dutch national has been locked up for 18 years. Follow Kent Online on socials to see the moment a man dumps a load of McDonald's rubbish into a front garden in Maidstone. A security camera captured the moment. The cardboard, napkins, bags and sauce pots were left outside the property on Hermitage Lane. The homeowners described it as shocking and urged people to put litter in the bin. Hermione Daphne has been chatting to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
People should be more careful. Think about not only people, but also environment, planets and everything. And throwing away things in nature is not okay. Mm-hmm. It's actually, animals could actually eat plastic, eat glasses and die from it. So it shouldn't be, you know, this hard to put your garbage, your rubbish into the bin next door. And that's it.
Absolutely. And I imagine it was quite disrespectful just to find that you have this rubbish that you have to clear up. And the fact that it's happening quite more and more, obviously this must be the worst incident you've had so far. Is that right?
Yeah, that's definitely the worst. Before, it's just on our sidewalk. It's never been on our front garden, you know. So definitely this is the worst. Some people thought online we were targets, you know. We were a target but we don't think it was against us. We just think it's totally random. It's probably because we are the first, you know, parking available from McDonald's to our home. So probably the driver must have stopped there, pick up the guy because it was, you know, I was a spot there and that's it. And the guy didn't probably think about it. He didn't care. You were just like very like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of it. I don't care what's the consequence, and that's it.
And when you put that post on Facebook, what was your intention or message that you were hoping to get across, perhaps if that person does see the story or the video?
Yeah, we thought about first, we would like to talk to this person, not only the man, but also the girls inside the car, because I do think that the girl have a responsibility as well to tell the guy, no, it's not okay to do that. But obviously, I don't think we will know who's done that. But at least if the guy or the girl can see the message on Facebook and think about it twice from now on, it will be already a good thing. Obviously, a lot of people share the video and just to let them know as well that, oh, actually, it might happen to you as well. You know, now probably this guy, he has done this kind of stuff a lot of times. Maybe he wasn't caught before, but he will probably do it again. So it's always, I would like these people to realize that's not okay. Mm-hmm. That's all. Like, I don't want them to be punished necessarily. I just want them to realize how bad it is, not only for me, but for other people, for animals and for planet Earth as well.
A couple from Sittingbourne who failed to get treatment for their seriously ill cat have been banned from keeping animals for 15 years. Stephen and Katie Gates admitted causing unnecessary suffering to Thunder, who was found with an abscess on his head and had to be put to sleep. The 49 and 39-year-olds from the Meads Avenue will both have to do 300 hours of unpaid work. It's feared parents have been left struggling to find childcare places after a nursery suddenly shut. Abacus Nursery on Smarden Road in Headcorn has been suspended by Ofsted following concerns children may be exposed to risk or harm. Bosses have apologised for the upheaval to the children and their carers. One of Kent's bus companies is set to trial contactless payments on two of its routes. Stagecoach say the month-long project will involve services that run between Deal in Canterbury and Folkestone in Canterbury. Instead of handing over physical money, passengers can use a bank card or the Stagecoach app. Plans for a cafe and flat linked to a hair salon in New Romney have been turned down. The owner of Capelli in the High Street had been hoping the development would revitalise part of the town, but it's been rejected amid privacy concerns. Planning officers also said the size and design would be out of keeping with the surrounding area. Now, firefighters have told the podcast they've been called to more wildfires in Kent than normal at this time of year. Since the start of February, there have been around 10 reports, including a grass fire in Borough Green, straw bales alight in Wye and a bush bushfire in Canterbury. Nick Scott is an area manager at Kent Fire and Rescue Service. He says the weather has played a huge part.
I'd say that we're seeing a slightly higher than average number of requests for our attendance at wildfires or grass, heathland and vegetation fires than normal this time of year. We have had a particularly dry February and March, and that looks like it's going to continue through into April. So the dry, warm and fairly windy weather has sort of contributed to the increase in the number of incidents we're seeing at the moment.
As you say, we are looking ahead at the forecasts and that weather is expected to continue. I mean, for us, that's brilliant news. You know, we're getting our barbecues out. Everybody's thinking about going to the beach. But for you, is that a concern? Is it warning bells, really, that these dangerous fire conditions could continue?
We're well trained. We're well prepared to deal with these types of incidents. And like I say, normally we see them sort of a bit later into the year, as we go into sort of more traditional summer months. But we've got crews out across the county. We've got, you know, the appropriate equipment and, like I say, the training to deal with these types of incidents. So we're well resourced and we do a lot of pre-planning for, you know, all spate weather conditions, whether that's, you know, extremes of heat or, you know, cold, snow, heavy rain, etc. So we're well prepared. But what the public can do to help us is, you know, to prevent these fires occurring in the first place, so we don't have to respond. So what we're asking is that through simple measures, simple actions like safely using disposable barbecues, disposing of them once they've cooled in a responsible way, discarding of smoky materials sensibly and properly, and also being responsible with bonfires, that can help drive down the amount of times we have to get called out and attend these incidents, keeping resources available for other incidents across the county.
And if somebody does have somebody's got a barbecue, they've taken a barbecue out, and it accidentally gets out of control. You know, they think they're disposed of it properly, but it hasn't. What should they do? If you've accidentally sparked a blaze, what are the steps you should take to sort of make sure it's not spreading quickly and getting out of control?
Obviously, you know, get themselves to a place of safety, ring 999, ask for the fire service and give as much detail as you can around your location and what is actually on fire. Like I say, keep safe is the main message from us once the fire has started, and try and remove yourself from any danger, and stand by and wait for us to attend and resolve the incident.
Is there any concern about people taking advantage of these sort of dry and warm conditions to deliberately start grass fires for whatever reason? Is that a concern as we come into the summer?
I think that's always a possibility. You know, every incident is different. I'd like to think that all these are accidental. Accidental fires that occur, they are preventable. But, you know, on occasions there have been reports of individuals starting fires, you know, intentionally. If you do see people acting in a suspicious way, you can report that to Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111 and give the details across there. And then obviously that will be relayed to the police or the relevant agency to progress.
Temperatures today are expected to reach 21 degrees with no rain on the horizon until the middle of next week. Now, this all comes as three fire engines have been called to tackle a blaze at a football pavilion in Margate. It broke out in the water tank room at a site on Caxton Road yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt and crews are unsure how it started.
Kent Online News.
We've been hearing from Kent Police about what thousands of new police officers would mean for the county. Yesterday, the Prime Minister promised 3,000 new neighbourhood officers across England by the start of 2026. Kent is set to receive 65 additional neighbourhood police officers within the next 12 months. Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Assistant Chief Constable Nigel Brooks.
We're investing an additional 65 officers right across Kent. They're going to be deployed to our neighbourhood task force, which every district has in Kent. So we're increasing the number of officers who are available to provide that additional visibility, particularly in the times and the places at which people might feel less safe. So I'm very confident that members of the public, our communities, we'll see a real visible difference, and I'm ambitious about the impact on crime and people's perceptions of safety that we can have over the coming period. We've made big increases in the number of crimes we're solving. In the last year, we've solved 15% of all the crime reported to us. That's just under a 3% increase on the previous year. So real progress there. I'm ambitious. We want to make more dent on crime. We want to bring more offenders to justice, and these additional officers will help us to do that, not least in the areas which are particularly worrying to people around shoplifting, assaults on people who work in shops, and some of the street crime that impacts in and around our town centres.
And how do those figures compare to other parts of England? Are they better or are they worse?
Well, Sir Keir Starmer's drawn attention to the fact that over the country, about 90% of crimes are unsolved. So we're solving more than that, but we're certainly not complacent. We know we need to get ever better at solving crime.
Supporters of Shepherd United have lined a street in Minster for the funeral of their manager. Ernie Batten was also a director and played a huge role in the club's rebirth, but he passed away last month at the age of 67. A funeral was held yesterday. Mark Faulkner used to go to school with Ernie and has been a Shepherd United fan since the 1970s.
Ernie Batten, obviously, when he left school early, he started playing semi-professional football, and he's done a lot of football, played for a lot of clubs and all things like that. And obviously he come back, and this ground here, as you can see here, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Ernie Batten and the money he's put in, that sort of thing. And then obviously the last couple of years he has been manager, which people may not understand, that if Ernie wasn't, it would have cost the club a lot of more money to pay for a manager. What Ernie's done is incredible.
And tell me a bit about his success as a manager. I believe he got to the first round of the FA Cup. Could you tell us about that and what that meant to
you? Yeah, he got to the first round, FA Cup against Walsall. Yeah, we done really well and all that sort of thing. Close game and all that sort of thing. But there was like 50-odd and the TV people here and all sort of thing. It was a really good day.
Lee Allen is the club's vice chairman.
Ernie was actually a shy guy. Ernie didn't really go much with the limelight, but yeah, I'm sure it'd have been touched and really thrilled to see such a great turnout today, and also see so many smiles on people's faces, remembering the good times that he brought to not only the club but also to his friends and family.
Brilliant. And could you talk a bit about Ernie's dedication to Shepherd United? He was the only club he really ever managed. He was there for many years. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, Shepherd United owe Ernie Batten a lot. Obviously, he was here as a player, scored a lot of goals. But when he took over as owner and also as manager, he's given the Isle of Shepherd so many memories that live on forever. In terms of, we've had a couple of promotions, we've won, we've had cup success. We got to the first round of the FA Cup proper last year, which was live on ITV. In all the club's history, you'd never, you know, that was only a dream. It was just in the pipeline. You never expected it to be part of your lifetime. And thanks to Ernie, we can cherish that memory for a long time. And the facilities here, we've got a home park, unbelievable. It's one of the best in the league. It's got potential to grow. It's a community-based club. And Ernie was always for putting stuff back into the community, and his legacy will certainly live on with this fantastic facilities built on the Isle of Shepherd.
It's the last day to register to vote in Kent in next month's local elections. More than 80 seats at County Hall are up for grabs. Voting will take place on May 1st with over 800 polling stations open during the day. We've socialed the list of all the candidates. Sparrows, blue tits and starlings are the most sighted birds in Kent, according to the results of a national survey. More than 19,000 people in the county took part in the Big Garden Birdwatch in January. The RSPB say more than 80 species were recorded across the country, providing a vital snapshot of wildlife. Parts of Danejod Gardens in Canterbury have been fenced off ahead of a multi-million pound revamp. Public access to the park will be restricted to the path around the edge of the grounds until December. It's frustrated some residents who have questioned why the work has to be done in the summer months. Bosses say they've had no other option. And an iconic supermarket cafe is due to close for the final time today. The facility above Sainsbury's at Hempstead Valley is among a number around the country closing their doors. The company announced earlier this month it would be cutting 3,000 jobs.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham can extend their unbeaten run to 8 games this weekend. They welcome MK Dons to Priestfield in League 2. The last 6 games of all ended in a draw for Gareth Ainsworth's side. The manager says he's keen to get a first win in charge, but is pleased with what he's seen so far.
I've got to give credit to the boys. You know, I've chopped and changed a little bit in the squad. And it's 3 away trips, long away trips, overnights in 10 days, but 2 really close together. Boys have adapted really well. I stopped training just before they started today and said, well done. I said, you've adapted really well. You know, we've not had a I've not had a normal week yet, what we would call a normal week in football, you know, and that's tough for them. So well done, boys. You know, you've adapted really well. You've dealt with the chops and changes. You've gone video messages. You've taken on it really well because we haven't had time to really do a lot on the grass. We've done bits, but I pride myself on real organisation and them feeling it on the grass. So yeah, a great point away at Chesterfield, you know, it really was, because they are a very good side. You know, I look at them and think they could probably compete in the league above, you know, and I've been in that league and this season, and some of the names they've got, some of the play they've got, a good side, very good side. I think injuries this season have really, you know, hurt their chances of being where they should be. I was speaking to Paul Cook after, good manager, knows how to get out of this division, and he was paying a lot of respect to us, and they actually changed their formation slightly for us, and then they put so many attacking players on the pitch at the end, you know, to try and get back in the game. I think testament to the boys and how well they did, you know, because first half we really took it to them, some great chances, and second half we could have added to that. But no, really pleased with the boys. They're a good group, as I've said, and it's not just the boys, that extends to all the staff and all the support staff. You know, I've just spoke to, you know, the lady in the dining room, Heidi, and said, like, you help us get 3 points on a Saturday as well. You know, that everyone is really buying into this new sort of, you know, way we're trying to work and trying to identify what Gillingham is. So yeah, really pleased, and yeah, got a home game now, MK Dons. Going to be great for a Saturday afternoon, my first Saturday afternoon at Gillingham as manager. Really looking forward to it. Hopefully we can put on a display for the fans that they're going to appreciate, like we did at Colchester. But you never know. I've said the other day, you know, it's not always going to be brilliant and rosy and positive. We'll have moments where we're going to have to learn, but we'll be going for winning that game on Saturday.
Defender Sam Gale has also been chatting ahead of the game.
We're still unbeaten under the manager. It feels like we've won, even though we haven't. It's a good point on the road. We're gutted that we haven't come away with a win after getting to about the 80th minute leading, but at the end of the day, if you look at it, they're a good side, Chesterfield. They've been together for a number of years, that squad under that manager, and we've taken a point off them. That's another team that are pushing for the playoffs that we've almost derailed their push a little bit, so there's a lot to be positive about with it.
Please, Fred, Nevitt, he's been really unlucky in front of goal sometimes. He's got a couple recently. How pleased are the whole squad for him individually?
Yeah, really pleased. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, Nev. Like, he works himself into the ground week in, week out, and he's a confidence player, and like everyone said it, everyone knows it, everyone saw him last season. Once the goals start flowing, they won't stop. And he's got 2-2. It was a great finish on Tuesday night. Just slight look at goal and he's buried it in the bottom corner. He'll thrive off that and he's going to keep going now because he works his socks off. He's not going to settle with that.
Back on home turf Saturday, Milton Keynes Dons. What sort of fixture are you expecting? They're not in great form, but I suppose if you underestimate anyone, you'll get caught out.
No, I'm expecting a tough game. Like, listen, you look at this league, I think before we went into Chesterfield, Tranmere beat them 4-0 on the weekend, and Tranmere are fighting relegation. Like, you just can never assume anything in this league. We beat Bradford, and then we lost to Newport 3-0, then we beat Bradford 1-0 on the Saturday. Football doesn't make sense, and especially in this league. So we can't take anything for granted. They've got good players in Milton Keynes Dons. They'll be up for it because they've got a point to prove. They're in a bad run of form. So it's going to be another tough game, but I'm confident going into it.
To cricket, and it's Kent's first home game of the new season. They'll be looking to make it back-to-back victories as they welcome Middlesex to Canterbury in the County Championship. It follows a 145-run win over Northamptonshire last time out. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.